Okay? Proverbs 23, verse 26, I think I'll get us all to turn there. I'll read it. The Bible says, "My son, give me thine heart." Proverbs 23, 26. "My son, or my daughters," Solomon is imploring his own son, "please give me your heart." You know, one of the things when fathers or mothers or Sunday school teachers or someone who wants to teach a younger person, you know, one of the things we need to do is not merely instruct. We need to plead with the recipient. "Don't just listen to me. Give me your heart." Because that's where the center, you know, we can teach till the cows come home. Unless the person is saying, "Yes, you're right. I understand. I will try my best to listen." You know, Solomon pleads with his own son, "My son, give me your heart." The word "give" has the idea of, we talk about it in the service, give means to surrender your right to. Surrender your right to your hearts to me. Okay? Surrender rights to your heart to me. "Give me your heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways." So after you've given God the heart, then our eyes will be able to observe God's ways. Okay? Why? Look at Proverbs 23, verse 27. Solomon was very concerned for one thing for this son. "Because a whore is a deep ditch." You know, I've always taught on 26. Then I decided to read 27. Solomon actually has a reason for actually wanting the son to give the dad the heart. Why? Because you're going to be exposed to immorality. You're going to be... Because the father was exposed to all kinds of women that drew his heart away from God. And that's why Solomon says, look, the first step to even before observing God's ways is to give God your heart. Because that's what Proverbs 23, 26 say. "My son, give me thy heart and let your eyes observe my ways." Okay? "Because the whore is a deep ditch and the strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey and increases the sin among men." In this passage, as a Christian, if we do not give God our hearts, you know what? The influences of this world. Yesterday, when we talked about a child of the 21st century, a child of the 21st century is overexposed. The internet and all that. And we talked about the fact that the types of influences, the immorality that comes in, the pornography that comes in, and children become sometimes desensitized to these things. But you know what? They are thinking on these things, unfortunately. And what they think they become, okay? So we need, number one, to present ourselves to God. Okay, any questions? Okay, if not, let's move on, all right? That's quite a number. Number two, we need to renew our mind. Okay, renewing our mind. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed." What does transform mean? What does transform mean? Transform. The word "trans" means to change form. You literally change the form. Okay, so I last time I was a square, I changed the form, I become a circle. Change form. The word "transform" comes from the Greek word "metamorphosize." Okay, in science we learn about metamorphosis. We change from one state to another state. In other words, by the time we learn something, our lives will be totally... People can't recognize us. There was one friend who, in a funny way, told me, because he was playing with me, and then he was saying, "By the time I'm finished with you, your mom will not recognize you." The idea is, or he said, "I'll rearrange your face." So the idea, it was just a joke. But you know, as a Christian, when we get saved, to the time, maybe a few years later, you know what, literally our friends should not be able to recognize us in terms of our character, in terms of how we present ourselves, in terms of our attitudes to life. We need to be totally changed. Okay? And that's what it means here. Be not conformed to this world. Don't follow the philosophies of this world, but be transformed, okay? By the renewing our mind. How do we renew our mind? How do we renew our mind? Can anyone venture a guess? Or not guess? Venture an answer? How do we renew our mind? By? Sorry? By the Word of God. By the, not just the Word of God, the daily input of the Word of God, okay? I was just having a side note here. How many of us shower every day? Don't have put up. We do, right? We do shower every day, right? In Australia, sometimes it's so cold. 2 or 3 days you don't shower because you just—it's just so cold. Okay, and when you shower, one of my mom's friends, she said, when you want to shower in winter, it's like 30 seconds. You just kind of water it quickly, wipe dry because it's so cold. You know, as a general rule, most people shower every day. Why? Because you know, as you go into this world, you get the dirt of this world. You need to wash clean. Okay. The Word of God does the same for us. The Word of God, according to one evangelist, just use it as an illustration. It's like a spiritual soap. And every time we are involved in this world, soap actually have cleansing properties. Okay, in some, depending on what brand you buy, okay, Dettol will have antibacteria and things like that. Why? The idea is to clean up whatever that you are bringing, whatever you brought in from the world. Christians, when we don't read our Bibles, how many of you take soap? Let's pretend this is soap. How many of you use soap and just dab this?
We don't, right?
We will. So make sure it gets in, right? And how many of you know, because I'm a bit hairier, you have dirt particles trapped inside those holes, in the hair, okay? Those, you can literally see a lot of holes. And last time when I actually jog, what happens is when you start jogging, you perspire. When you just perspire, you get itchy. You know why? If the perspiration coming out from your, pores, actually mixes with the dirt, it gets itchy for me. And I know that once I shower with cold water, with Dettol and scrub, you feel fresh, okay? You really feel fresh. You know, sometimes we read our Bibles, we read like this, we just dab it. It's when we read without understanding, we don't actually allow God, the Holy Spirit, to rub it into our system so that at the end we really feel fresh. We need a daily input of God's Word. We need it. Because otherwise, I can tell you the philosophies and the things of this world that come in and we don't wash it off with God's Word. It will just keep on piling up. Okay? So number one, we need to present ourselves to God with our heart. Then we need to renew our minds. Okay? Number three, we need to put off the old ways. Putting off the old ways. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Paul actually has a very detailed way of talking about it. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 21. Let's turn there. We have a few verses there we need to go through. Ephesians 4, 21. Just try to go a bit faster so that we can finish this week. Okay? The words putting off the old ways simply means stop doing what we have been doing. Ephesians 4:21 says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him. Notice Paul was very specific about the fact, if you genuinely have understood the gospel and you have been taught by God, okay, as the truth is in Jesus Christ, that ye put off, what have you been taught to put off? The word put off means to literally undress, put off. The former conversation, the lifestyle that you had before. Okay? Paul, in referring to the Ephesian Christians, they were people who would lie, they would cheat, they would not work. That's why in Ephesians 4 and 5, Paul talks about let him that stole steal no more. Paul had to deal with this specifically. Paul, before that, says you need to put off your former lifestyle. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, which is corrupted according to our own lust. What he's saying is, all the outward things that we do were corrupted because of what's inside. Does it make sense according to that verse? The former lifestyle will corrupt according to the deceitful, the deceptive thoughts and lusts of our flesh. And Paul says we need to put it off. We need to put it off. In verse 23, interesting, be renewed in the, not your mind, you know. Paul goes a bit deeper. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. The word renewed literally means, who wants to guess what the word renewed means? It means, again, sorry? It means change, okay? The word renewed has the idea of renovation. Change, yeah, change, you renovate, right? We have a house, okay, and some of us are thinking of renovating this part or that part. God literally says, your house needs to be renovated by the Holy Ghost. Do first for renovation. You know, some of us are in older flats. You know, some people will come in, they want to renovate. What do they do first? They do hacking. They do clearing of the debris. Old stuff. Today, Jeremiah was looking across to the next floor. I think they may be moving out. You see all the old washing machines, and behind is quite clean now. When we first moved into Telo, those who were there will realize, it's just a dumping ground, you know. But you know what? The owner said, don't worry, we'll renovate the whole place, and it was spanking new when we moved in. Renovation. God says, I want a spanking new brain. And He said, we need to be renewed. Okay? In the spirit. The word spirit means be renewed in the influence of your mind. No longer do you get influenced by your corrupt, deceitful lusts. I want it to be changed, to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, we need to renew the mind. That's where the Word of God comes in. Okay? Another part to protecting our heart is obedience. Okay? Obedience is the key. Obedience is the key. Let's turn to a few verses first. Maybe we'll have if Brother Desmond, if you can turn to Romans 13:14. Leandra, if you can turn to Psalm 119, verse 9. And then the rest of us can stay in Ephesians 4:24. Romans 13 and verse 14. Okay, on the one hand, we put off the former conversation. Paul then in another passage says, put on the new man. Put on what? Not just a new man. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we take His whole person and put on us? What does it mean to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? What it means to put on being a Singaporean? You will actually look at what makes up a Singaporean, right? If you want to, okay, I'm a Singaporean. In other words, there are certain things that Singaporean identify the Singaporean spirit or character. So when we say we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, what does it mean? It means a few things. It means put on His mind. It puts on how Jesus would think. It puts on what are Christ's attitudes about things. And also it puts on His faith. What Jesus believes in. Does that make sense? Let's turn to Galatians 2:20, okay, for all of us, but we'll still keep someone one eye first, huh? Don't run away. But let's turn to Galatians 2:20. This was how Paul lived. And I think this is a life verse of some people. It certainly is mine. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Let's look there. There's a particular verse, a phrase there in that particular verse that pertains to our key here. Put on the Lord Jesus. Galatians 2:20, let's read together. I'll read, because you're not there. I'll read. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life, this is important, the life which I now live in the flesh, the way I live my life now in the flesh, I live by how? The faith of the Son of God. This is important. We no longer live even by our own faith, because our own faith is dead. But we live by the faith of what the Lord Jesus Christ believes in. And if you look at the faith, you can break it up into two. Faith refers to the teaching of the Lord Jesus and the practical faith of the Lord Jesus. Everything, how Jesus lived, what He taught, what He said. Paul says, I live by the faith. The word faith in the Bible means a persuasion, a belief. And so when Paul says, I'm living by the persuasion, the beliefs of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Who loved me and gave Himself for me. Obedience is the key. We need to put on the Lord Jesus. Putting on means as we read the Bible, we need to obey. As we obey, you find that God's Word begins to seep into our life on a regular basis. And it's hard because we still have our corrupted thoughts that say, no, I want to do it this way. And that's where obedience is the key. And it's a very important principle here. Any questions? Psalm 119 verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed. The word take heed has the idea of obeying. By obeying what God says. And in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 24, that he put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. If we want to think in the right way, we need the mind of Christ. Agree? If you want to really think in the right way, we need the mind of Christ. And Paul admonishes us, put on the Lord Jesus. It means we have to obey what he says. You know, that's a key. Because if we don't obey what Jesus says, our mind will constantly remain the 3.5 kilograms here. Okay, let's move on. Point number 5. Be separated. Be separated. The few verses, be separated. Okay, maybe we'll have Brother June, you can turn to 1 Peter 2:11. Abstain from fleshly lust. Prevent yourself. Avoid it like a plague. Put it away from you. Because the fleshly lust fights against you. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15:33. We need to be very careful because ungodly friends can corrupt good manners. Ungodly friends can corrupt the good manners that we want to cultivate. So, you know, this is one of the hardest things for teenagers. Because friends is such an important part of their lives. And for us as adults, we need to understand, yeah, they need friends. But at the same time, we need to be able to teach our young children growing up, teenagers, to be able to have the spiritual discernment. Because some friends are really not friends. They're just wanting to use you to meet their own needs. Okay? And once the need is done, they will just move on. A genuine friend is someone who say, I'm a Christian, and say, yeah, I respect you for that. I'm not a Christian, but I respect, I'll still be your friend. Okay? Alright? But you need to be careful, but don't let your non-Christian friend influence you. You know, for us as Christians, I found it a lot, and I think we all can see it everywhere, whereby Christians, in the name of wanting to make friends, surrender what they believe in order to make that friend. It doesn't make sense to surrender your best friend for someone who is not so good, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? However, you would want if you're a genuine friend, you need to be able to bring whoever you want to make friends with to your best friend, the Lord Jesus. Okay? And that's something that we need to think about. And for the teenagers, understand, as much as we understand the need to have friends, you must be discerning with regards to what kind of friends you make. Because friends can make your relationship with God or can break your relationship with God. And unfortunately, many people have a broken relationship with God because they want to make friends with this world. Okay? So, be separated, be careful. Alright? We're not saying don't make acquaintances, don't make friends, but we need to be able to identify the difference. Job 31 verse 1, the next one, be separated. Job had to make this covenant with his eyes. Interesting. I made a covenant with my eyes. One day should I think upon a maid. Alright? Why didn't God say that to the ladies? Because they generally don't have that much of a problem. Guys have a lot of problems with managing their thought life when it comes to the fairer sex. Okay? The ladies. And the devil knows that. The devil knows that. That's why we want, we believe from the Bible, we dress in an appropriate way, in a modest way, that we will not tempt our brothers, okay, in church. Alright? Some churches have put dress standards. The Catholic Church have put dress standards for their church. Why? People are coming in spaghetti strap, hot pants and all that just tempting everyone. And they actually put, you cannot wear this in church, you cannot do this. And you know what? Hopefully, you know why dress standards drop? Okay, this is a general principle. This is another time, another lesson. But generally, dress standards drop because we follow the music of this world. All right, okay. We will talk about this some other time. But this is a very important. The youth is dealing with the music now, which is a very useful thing. And hopefully, the youth will begin to think, not all music is good, and we need to be careful. Okay, so we need to be separated. We need to make a covenant with our eyes. Literally, sometimes look away. Literally, sometimes walk away from a situation if you have to, in order to protect your mind. Okay, be separated. Psalm 101 verse 3. No wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. A Christian who genuinely loves God, who follows what God loves, will actually say, I hate the work of them that turn aside. Actually, I have it in, I actually had a few slides which want to show you the appearance of evil. And this is something that Christians actually look at. Okay? I'll probably show it another time, but probably not another time, but just for this particular session. One of the pictures actually had Bart Simpson. Okay? Bart Simpson. And Bart Simpson was holding a glass of beer. And on top, there's this phrase, alcohol. The cause of and the solution of all your life's problems. Alcohol. The cause of and the solution to all your problems. Okay? Is that an appearance of evil? It's a wrong philosophy. Bart Simpson is very blasphemous. In Australia, I made a covenant. I will never watch Bart Simpson. Okay? Because in Australia, there was one time, it's quite fun, some of the antics and but then there was one time they actually gave thanks for food. Bart Simpson in the cartoon, they gave thanks for food. And Bart Simpson, he gave thanks. And he said, God, thank you for the food, but my dad bought it, so no thanks. It's like, you just gave thanks and said, just because your dad, of course, that's an ungodly. So I switched it off and I told my children, you're not supposed to watch Bart Simpson anymore. All right? No one that rejects God need our sympathy openly on national television in the cartoon. Okay, Bart Simpson. Then there's another one that there's actually two particular pictures I wanted to highlight, which is from Warcraft, which is a computer game. And when you look at the picture of Warcraft, it's demonism. All right. If you have an opportunity, we can actually show it later on. But it's just pure demonism. But yet, Christians can play the game. It's okay. Right? Yesterday, interestingly, one of the things that Dr. Frank Garlock actually says, there's this thing called the sleeper effect, whereby a person will say, doesn't affect me. You know what? Satan, when we think it doesn't affect me, it will affect you. And according to I think it was a researcher who says that when a person has a sleeper effect, are there actually a few effects? Sleeper effect. What are the effects you have? Sleeper effect. Huh? Central effect. Whereby it affects everyone. Everyone is doing it. So what's the problem? And when you have that idea, it will affect you. And that's what Satan wants to do. Deceive you into accepting what he wants. Okay? And so the Bible actually tells us, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Anything that even has an appearance of evil, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. And notice the psalmist actually said, I hate. He already made a choice. I reject the work of them that turn aside. Any outcome, any production, any movie, any music, any internet sites that have people who bring forth things that reject what God says. You know what? The psalmist said, I already decided, I'm not going to look at it. You know, I'm not saying all the things on the internet site is bad, but you know, as Christians, we absolutely need good filters, if not on your computer, at least in your mind, to be very clear. Hey, Bart Simpson said that. No, alcohol is not the solution to a problem. Jesus is. I'm not going to listen to his counsel. We have to make that decision. Does that make sense? We need to be separated. You know what? Teenagers, your friends can be the influence on your life to draw you away from God. What you need to do is to pray for your friends. Don't reject them, but pray for your friends but know also that you cannot be with them on long term. Why? Because it's not going to influence you for good. Okay, be separated. Any questions? Okay, let's move on, right? Point number 6. Meditate often on the Lord's words. Meditate often on the Lord's words. I'll just read Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. These words which I command this day, shall be where? In thine heart. God didn't say in your mind. God knows that the center of your thinking is your heart. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6, these words which I command thee this day shall not just be in your mind, it must be in your heart. It has to be in your heart. All right? Because if it's not in your heart, it's not going to influence you. That's the gist of the Hebrew religion, their heart religion. God is after the heart. He wants us to keep the words saturated in our hearts. Okay? And then in Psalm 119 and verse 105, let's turn there. This is a very important verse with regards to thinking and understanding. And you'll see within here the true put aspect. Okay? Psalm 119 verse 104. Psalm 119 verse 104. Let's read together. Okay, ready? One, two, go. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Notice what Psalmist David said. Through your word, I get understanding, genuine understanding of life, of things that are happening in this world. Okay? As a result of that, as a result of getting understanding from God's word, I hate every false way. Every Christian who loves the truth of Christ must be a hater of every false way. Okay? This is what David encourages us. Through your precepts, I get understanding. In Psalm 119 verse 99, you can just look up and see. The Bible says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? Because I meditate on thy precepts. You know, I have a lecturer who was very, very good in neuroscience. It's Dr. Lee Nyland. Very, very experienced. Even though he's a lecturer at university, whenever there's complex cases from the hospitals, they will call him. Okay, he's very good. He's very analytical. He says his goal in life is to stamp out regurgitation. Because students like to regurgitate. They study things, they just give back. So his exam is, people have left his, not him, people have, we don't score more than 55 for his exams. 100 is just so hard. All right? Now, but you know what? He's so brilliant in his mind. The last thing I heard, I think I shared before, the last thing I heard from another colleague of his, who is my lecturer as well, who came to Singapore to teach, said, he moved in with a third-year student. Left his wife of 10 years, moved in with a third-year student in university. You know, as much as we don't judge him, but in my mind, I'm saying, a brilliant neuroscientist, brilliant here, will leave his wife and move in with a third. And you know what? He may be healing people physically, but morally, he's destroying his wife, his children, his own reputation. Does it make sense? That's why the psalmist said, I have more understanding than all my teachers because I meditate on God's word. And this is an important principle. Meditate often on the Lord's word. What did Joshua 1:8 tell us? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Teenagers, if you want a prosperous and successful life, you memorize God's word, if possible, from cover to cover. Make it part of your mind all the time. It is a strong protection. The devil will destroy you. I can tell you, men, for those who are going to the army, you realize that there is a total place whereby corruption and it's just rampant. It seems to be like a... When you wear green, you can do anything you want, say anything you want, just okay, God. You know, Christians have a hard time. Let's pray for our soldiers in the army that God will continually protect their minds. But you need to meditate often on God's word. The next point, point number 7, read godly literature. Okay, and it's something that Christians, we need to understand. In 2 Timothy 4:13, the example of the Apostle Paul, read godly literature. 2 Timothy 4:13, the Bible says, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee and the books. Apparently, Paul, being in prison, asked Timothy to come. Please bring the coat, because I'm getting cold in the prison, please. He also requested for books, and of course, especially the parchments, which are the New Testament scriptures. Okay? You know, we need to read. We need to read as Christians. We need to read. Don't just read trash. Don't just read newspapers. Okay? They inform, but sometimes they inform not 100%. Okay? But we need to read books where godly men will tell us different things so that we can regularly fortify our mind. You know, parents, we need to encourage our young children to read. Just sit down and read. Maybe just for 10 minutes. It is a habit that is so important because the things that go into their minds, there was one particular lecturer in a Bible college said the two things that will change your mind in the next 5 years, your friends and books, the things you read, things you see. Okay? If Christians don't read, they will have no God in their mind. Anything comes in, they do not know whether it's right and wrong. We need to read godly literature. And this is important. And that's one of the reasons why we want to set up the library. Okay, we do have good books. If I ask you, why are you a Baptist? Do you know? You know why? Why you want to be in a Baptist church? Why not in a other denomination church? Okay, follow the rules of the Bible. What else? What else? You know, do you know the Baptist history? You need to read. There are small booklets there. When you realize that, like, you know, on Monday we had FBI, and Pastor Johnny was sharing how men of God died for the Bible. There was one thing that he did not mention. You know, William Tyndale, when he died in translating the Bible into English, what they did was this. They brought him to the stake. The executioner came, put the noose around his neck, and strangled him first, and then burned him. Okay? You know what they do to Baptists? They don't kill them first. They burn them straight. That's the difference. Because the Baptists were so hated for the love of God's word that those people, the Roman Catholic Church, when they executed, they actually differentiated Protestants and Baptists. For Protestants, they would strangle them first, kill them first, then burn them. For Baptists, they will burn you straight. They will not even have mercy on you when you die. I'm a Baptist by conviction, not because after studying and reading, of course, for the Baptist love for God's word. You know, the word Baptist ought to be special to us. I'm not saying, therefore, that every church must be Baptist, or some people just choose. That's their choice, but you know, as a Christian, I believe that the closest Christians that will hold on to God's word and willing to die for are the Baptists. And when you study history of the Baptists, there's very little history. Only written, mainly the history of the Baptists were written by who? They're not written by themselves. They're written by their enemies. You know why? They're too busy running away for their lives. And it's oftentimes written by enemies. And you know what? The enemies only had good things to say about Baptists of yesteryears. They would say things like, you know, a farmer can memorize Matthew, Mark, Luke, John by heart. And so when they stood before their Roman Catholic inquisitors, there was one particular book that I was reading in my study for my course. It said that this Roman Catholic inquisitor, after 4 days of inquisition and asking questions, told another priest, and said, I heard more scripture in those 4 days than I heard in 4 years in my seminary training. Because the Catholic priests, we have to reach the tradition and things. But you know, in those 4 days, those Baptists who were caught and were questioned, interrogated by the priest had to confess, documented, that in those 4 days I heard more Bible than the 4 years I was in my Catholic seminary. You know? You know what the devil wants today? To make us illiterate biblically. You know why we go through a lot of verses? By God's grace, if you ever leave Ambassador, you will carry God's word with you wherever you go. Because God's word is the only stabilizing force in this world today. Jesus is the foundation, no one else. And teenagers, if anything happens to you, remember, God's word will never change. You can always find refuge in God's word. Right, so that's why we need to read. We need to understand. Okay, and I've gone through one time, I think, in Sunday Bible Hour a few years ago on the history of the Baptists. I might go through. Okay, so I have to understand. You know what? You can read it. It's all upstairs. Okay, it's all upstairs. Okay, there's some booklets on that. Okay, now from this point, to read Christian godly literature, why can't Christians think? I just want to ask one question here. Why can't Christians think in a pure and a right way, and their thoughts are sometimes persistently evil, and they persist in their wrong ways? You know, one of the concerns I have as pastor is for Christians to persist in their ways week after week, month after month, year after year. Turn to Jeremiah. God's word tells us the reason why. And sometimes maybe when God diagnosed the reason for us, we need to take action so that our ways will change. Jeremiah 6 verse 19. Jeremiah 6 and verse 19. Hear the word of God. This is what God told Jeremiah to tell the people. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon these people, even the fruit of their thoughts. In other words, I will bring evil, I will bring judgment upon the fruit, the actions as a result of their thoughts, the fruit of their thoughts. Why? Because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. You know, God makes it so clear in the scriptures, the reason why He is judging the nation of Israel is because they have rejected God's law outright. And their lives were full of evil and corruption. And the reason why is because they have not listened to God's word, they have not hearkened to it, but they have actually rejected it. You know, there's a place for ignorance whereby, you know, ignorance, when I say a place for ignorance means it could be that you heard it for the first time. And one of the things is, if we heard a truth from the Bible for the first time, you know what our reaction should be? It shouldn't be, are you sure? It should be, oh really, that's what the Bible says? Then I better go and do something about it. That should be a proper response. Does that make sense? But you know what Christians tend to, you sure not? You sure I cannot do this? You sure God said that? There's a place for questioning, but when we question, we need to question to learn. Okay? But the Jewish people actually rejected God's word. And one of the reasons why Christians sometimes persist in their wrong ways of thinking is exactly what God says here. They have not heard God's word, and they have rejected it. You know why coming to church is important? By God's grace, every session you have, I will try to bring you to God's word. And for yourself to then go back and analyze it and read it again and Brother Johnny, you're wrong or Brother Johnny, you're right or whatever. It's not me, it's God's word that you need to know. Why do you need to read your Bible? You need to hear what God says. Oh, Christians, hearken to God's word. Don't reject it. Don't reject the words of someone who loves us so much. Make sense? Okay, don't reject the words of someone who loves us so much. The reason why Christians persist in their wrong ways and cannot change is because they reject God's word, but what else? They actually rehearse the evil thoughts. They rehearse it. They think on it again and again and again and again and again. Okay? They keep thinking about this, they keep thinking about that. And you know, as Christians, I can be very sure. Some people say, how am I thinking of this? But they don't do anything to get the thought out. And so what happens is that they keep thinking on it and soon, I don't know why, cannot control myself, you know. I just do it. You know why? Because you have been rehearsing that. You've been rehearsing that. Okay? So what do we need to do? We need to allow God's word to come in once again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Do you know how long David, from the time David sinned to the time Nathan actually convicted him, you know how long David was in that sin with Bathsheba? 1 year. 1 whole year. And David said in Psalm 32 is a prayer of repentance. But in Psalm 32, he gave an insight into what was happening to him when God was convicting him for that whole year before Prophet Nathan said. You know, God always convicts His children. If we are thinking wrong thoughts, I'm sure God is convicting. God convicts me all the time about how I need to think in every situation. If it's wrong, I need to repent straight away. Repentance is easy, but the actual doing actions, correction actions is tough. But you know, David had a whole year until God says, you are the man. And David broke down. David actually broke down. Christians, we continue with our evil thoughts and wrong thinking is because we entertain it. We need to confront ourselves with God's word and say, God, if that's what you say, I'm just going to obey you and do the right thing. Okay? So, that leads us to point number 8. Think only on good things. Think only on good things. Okay? It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, the word true means truthful. While things are based on God's word, whatsoever based on the situation that is true, whatsoever is transparent and honest, think on these things. Whatsoever things are honest, the word honest means sober and honorable, that people can hold it up. Okay? Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, equitable and fair. Don't always think of the extreme. That's what it means. Think on what is just. Don't think of what even. Think of the just, okay? Whatsoever things are pure, the word pure means innocent, chaste. Whatsoever things are devoid of corruption. In other words, things like rock music, all these have to be out of our lives, amen? That's what God says. Movies, they are unwholesome. Books, they are unwholesome. Romantic novels that encourages perhaps immorality before marriage and things like that. We need to put it out. Alright? Kissing and stuff like that in books or teenagers and things like this. And you know, the teenage magazine is just fraught with a lot of this kind of rubbish. No, God says, whatever things are pure, innocent, don't dabble in things that you know obviously is immoral. Okay? Like for a magazine. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you read those magazines, sometimes they will have headings, oh, I cheated on my husband 5 times. You know what, Christians, sometimes, or people say, you know what, those are the sensational, wow, how? You want to read, right? You know what you need to do? Actively say, no, and walk off, and think about buying bubble tea or something that takes your mind off that. You know why they write all that kind of things to entice you? Read. Fill your minds. Christians, we need to have enough of God's spirit and character to say, if that's the kind of title it is, I'm not going to buy it. Okay? Let's have... Because the Bible says, whatever things are pure, think on these things. What things are lovely. What lovely means acceptable, appropriate, friendly. Don't think on thoughts that will break up appropriateness. Whatever things of a good report. The word good report means reputable, well spoken of. Yesterday we had a kind of a surprise birthday party for a person who had such a deprived childhood. Anyway, but you know, one of the things we used to play in Ambassador is a person being on a hot seat. Okay, basically just trying to encourage every other youth to just share something good, and just to encourage the person. You know, sometimes it's important for us as Christians to say good things about other people. And just to honor that person. The Bible says whatsoever things are of good report. You know, it's encouraging. It's encouraging. What things are good report? If there be any virtue, any excellence in it, if there be any praise, if it's commendable, the Bible says think on this thing. Think on these things. That is enough for us to think on for a whole day. Amen. We don't have to think. Yeah, sometimes bad things will happen. Can I say this? There's always good in every bad. Because God is in every situation. Even in the storms of life, God is there. Amen. There's always good in every situation. And that's what God wants us to learn. Satan wants to destroy our thought processes, corrupt us, change our behaviors. I had a friend who was a speech therapist and she was working in a department for a while. And you know what? She's a Christian, but over time, because of the things that's happening with the colleagues and their backbiting and being unkind and all that, she began to change the way she perceived. And she made decision, okay, next time I'm going to do this. So I told him, look, don't let the environment change you. Don't change your character. You need to think on those things. You know why? She's been feeding on how unkind this person was, how unreasonable that person was. You know what? It began to conquer her mind to the point that she made a decision, oh, this is how I survive in this place. That's not God's way. God doesn't want us to survive. He wants us to live abundantly above the situation, so that when people are in the same situation can look at us and say, hey, how come you are not affected? I'm not affected because I have the light of life in my life and be able to influence other people. Okay, think on those things. Isaiah 26 verse 3, thou will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is focused, his state on thee, focused on thee. Why? Because I put my trust in God. Okay? Two more points and we'll finish. Listen to counsel. Point number 9. Listen to counsel. These are some additional ones I believe that the as I studied added. Listen to counsel. In our thinking process, we are not always perfect. As a pastor, I'm not perfect. I need input. I need counsel as well. I do get, thank God, from men who say, I think you shouldn't do that and all that. So, collectively, we need to listen to counsel. Proverbs 11, verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. Teenagers, are you listening? Be willing to ask your parents for input. Okay? And parents, we need to always keep our doors open for our children. That they can come to us to ask. Okay? Where no counsel is, the people fall. For the sake of our children, for the sake of even church members, you know, all of us need to have an open heart that will go to anyone or listen to anyone that will be able to give us counsel. Because when no counsel is, the people will fall. I've seen it happen before whereby people, when they have problems, they just kind of isolate themselves and now they're no longer walking with God. There's another person who something happened to that person and then tried to go and talk to the person and said, well, leave me alone. I don't want to be affected by other people's thoughts. You know why he ends up in the Pentecostal church? Why? Because the Bible says where no counsel is. That's the devil's ploy, by the way. Devil's ploy is very simple. Isolate and destroy. Isolate and destroy. Christians, we need to always keep an open door. Now we need to find someone who we can talk to, pray. You know, in the local church, we need to have that environment whereby counsel is freely available. Sometimes I do ask teens or whoever, you know, what do you think of that? Because I'm listening so that I can actually do a better job. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. What do you think in the army, before they fight, you know how many people will gather around with all their expertise to put together a plan that hopefully will guarantee the safety of the soldiers and victory on the battlefield? Why? Because in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. Proverbs 18 verse 17, this is important, but he that is first in his cause seems just. A person who thinks he's right in the first time will seem just, but about his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. Some of us will think that we are right, and I think I'm right, but you know, the Bible will come, a neighbor will come and search him. You know, as Christians, we must always be open-hearted to people who, with care, come and tell us, hey, maybe you should consider this. Yeah, I should. We must always have that openness. Listen to counsel. Because when our mind is close to counsel, we will always think our own way. The Bible says he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Alright? And finally, in point number 10, we haven't dealt with it unfortunately yet, but trust in the Lord and refuse to be inclined with your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord all thine heart. Notice all thine heart again. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. God's promise, he will direct your paths. He will. When you trust God to direct your path, God will take the reins and will lead you. That's his guarantee. But we need to surrender the reins to him first. All right? Otherwise, it will not work. Okay? I think I'll stop there because otherwise we'll take the whole service to go. But any questions up to that? These are the 10 things. What are things we need to do? Next week, specifically, I know I'm dragging you because I'd like us to really have a good idea. Because your thought life will determine your life. If you don't control those thoughts, it will change you into something that God doesn't want you to be. Next week, we'll deal with what should I do if I have evil thoughts? Practically looking at it, and all of us, probably at one time or another, will grapple and fight with evil thoughts. Remember, evil thoughts doesn't necessarily mean an intention to hurt someone. An evil thought is just a thought that is out of line with what God says. Okay? It could just be as simple as, I need to do this. I know I need to do this, but I'm choosing to do that. Okay? And remember, how we make decisions, or rather, who we become is a sum total of how we make decisions along the way.